Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Your Dunamis Life. I'm Dr. Pauline Dillard, Executive Director and CEO of Dunamis Center Ministries in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Here at Dunamis Center Ministries, our mission is to bring praise, honor, and glory to God by building Christ-centered, heart-connected marriages, births, and families who have deeper relationship with God and each other. And I'm back with my co-host, Catherine Pearson.
Hello!
So, Catherine, today's show, I think, is going to be a little bit different than how we normally approach a show, would you say?
Yeah, I think we don't really have an agenda.
Probably not so much. I mean, other than we want to bring praise, honor, and glory to God.
Right, exactly.
And, you know, one of the things is you were reading in Psalms, and you came across something that just really piqued your interest. So we thought, let's just have a discussion about it and see where it goes.
Exactly, yes. I was reading at the very end of Psalms, the last four or five or so, and reading about how much the author was calling different elements in our world to praise. You know, praise, let's see, in Psalm 148, praise him, all his angels, praise him, all his heavenly hosts, praise him, sun and moon, all you shining stars. Praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. Down in verse 7, praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding, you mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle. So, and it just keeps going on and on. And I was just impressed by, you know, all these different, you know, like I said, elements in the world that were called to praise. And I found it interesting, you know, that how much more should we be praising also, you know?
Absolutely. And we know in the New Testament where it talked about if we don't praise, you know, the rocks will cry out for it. And so here's more evidence. I'm fascinated with the idea that we're talking about animals, which we typically say, okay, have no soul.
Right.
We're talking about inanimate objects, so to speak, trees, and we're talking about the weather. And it's like, how did those things praise?
Right.
You know, so I'm not sure we have a definitive answer to that, but it's like a fascinating thing to ponder that, like you said, Catherine, how much more so should we who have all that, the soul and the heart and the connection to God and the sentient being aspect of it, be praising him?
Yeah. So I think, you know, for this show, we're just going to be talking about praise and worship and thanksgiving and songs and,
right,
you know, all that related stuff, having a discussion about it. And we don't really have a essential conclusion or anything. Just
want to share some ideas and,
you
thoughts.
Know, as we're walking through a Dunamis life, we know that this is an important element.
And our mission statement even has praise in it, to bring praise to God, to bring honor and glory to him. So what does that actually mean? Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we were talking about, all of us together, and Sharon's here today as well, and she can jump in if she wants, but she was also discussing with us before the show that is there any real essential difference between praise and worship?
Right. I think they're slightly different.
They are slightly different. If we just go to like a Webster's dictionary definition of them, praise falls under admiration, and worship falls under adoration.
Right.
So it's like, okay, so what are the differences between admiration and adoration?
Right. They're so close.
They're so close, and they can happen together. But then they can also happen apart from each other at the same time.
Right.
I can admire someone. I can admire their work. I can have respect for them without being all adoringly fawning over them. Does that make sense? Or even having adoration for them.
Right.
I may not even know them and admire what they do.
Yeah.
I can also have complete adoration for somebody without it being connected to admiring their accomplishments as a person, but just adoring them for being.
Right. Well, like as an example, I think about my children, you mm-hmm. know, and I just adore them, you know. They're sweet little, well, but most of the time.
Let's get real.
Yeah. And, you know, there's an adoration there, but it's very different from admiring. I mean, there might be qualities that they're developing as, you know, in their personalities that I admire.
Right.
You know, my oldest has a great knack for creating a homey space, you know, in her room. And I admire that quality because I'm not real great at that. But, you know, so, you know, it's just examples of different uses of admire versus adore.
Right. And, you know, it's like we also saw often, like in the Old Testament in particular, but like Leviticus and back in Nehemiah, like Leviticus 19, Nehemiah 12, when we were looking at praise, it's often connected with thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And being grateful and thankful for what God has done.
Mm-hmm.
And Nehemiah also has a very long prayer in there where he talks about what God has done. If you look at a lot of the forefathers, you know, of our faith from the Old Testament, a lot of their prayers are surrounding, like, not just that the creation would cry out, but that God made the creation. He made the heavens and the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And so the element of praise has this admiration and thanksgiving for what God has done in his creation. And if we don't lose sight of that, it's pretty astounding.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I mean, I think we get very commonplace sometimes in our churches, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a tendency to forget how much God has really created and done and accomplished.
And we look at just what's in front of us and we say, oh, God, you know, I'm thankful that I have a house and I'm thankful I have food and I'm thankful that I have a nice new car. And we get almost shallow in our praise and thanksgiving and we forget that we are talking about the creator of the entire universe and beyond.
Right.
If you find another universe, he made that too. You know, I mean, it's just, it's so massive, and we try to reduce it down to this like little thing just sitting in front of our eyes today, and it sometimes minimizes to me that adoration and admiration, if that makes sense.
Yeah, they're both so important.
Mm-hmm.
You need to admire, like you said, adore and admire everything that he's done.
Yeah. So one of the things I try to do every once in a while is when I'm fretting, you know, like about how this one project might turn out or, you know, is this thing going to work out or, you know, some people are fretting over, are they going to get their bills paid or, you know, my best friend doesn't like me anymore. And I don't want to minimize that those aren't serious things for us.
Mm-hmm.
But I notice that I tend to forget how really powerful God is in everything. If I don't take a moment to admire who he is,
mm-hmm.
what he's done,
mm-hmm.
and to get my eyes off of my current circumstances. You know, in the Dunamis life, we talk about we're completely filled with the Spirit of Christ, and we're operating out of being already filled with the Spirit of Christ. We're actually acting on it. So even I sometimes have to remind myself to act on that, and that it reminds me that I am talking to and about the God of the universe who raised up the mountains, separated out the seas. He created everything you read in Psalms, the wind, the rain, the stars, the moon, the sun, the animals, the sea creatures, the land creatures, the foods, the plants, the fruits, all of it. And it reminds me, is there really anything that he can't handle? And then I go into Thanksgiving for the fact that we get to admire and adore and be grateful for a God that did all of that. And then in the midst of all of that, he was mindful of me.
Wow.
Yes. You know, that he just pointed down and went, you.
Mm-hmm.
You're the one.
Mm-hmm. It's a bit mind-blowing.
Yes, and I try not to think about it too hard. But then some days I must in order to stay balanced.
Right, right. I think, you know, we can, you know, when we are mindful of, you know, being awestruck by, like you were saying, all those things that he created, the wind and the rain and all of those things. And I think, you know, sometimes we can tend to, I don't know if worry is the right word, but we kind of wonder, with all of this that he created, does God still see me?
Yes.
You know, we can tend to feel maybe small compared to the mountains or the wind and the rain. And, you know, does God see my problems, my seemingly little situation?
And I'm reminded of Hebrews where it says, then we're an adopted son or daughter.
Yeah.
Just you. Or me.
Yeah.
And that Jesus was mindful of all of that when he went to the cross. And then how much more should we then not praise and worship? Once we become aware of, you know, you and I have mentioned before that we both were raised in the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know about you, but I kind of walked away with, we're all saved, well, as long as we're Catholic, because that guy Jesus died on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of a distant thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. One of the definitive moments for me after I left my parents' home and went to college was coming to that realization of, oh my gosh, this is about a relationship
right.
with the creator of the universe. And it blew my mind for a while, several days probably. I was just, you know, kind of meditating on that concept, and
mm-hmm.
and it's part of what really turned my heart towards attending a church that was more focused on, you know, a relationship-centered.
Yes.
What am I trying to say? Focus on relationship with the Creator, and not just reading about Him.
Well, I think
that's how I felt in the Catholic
Church. Exactly, and a lot of what they do is the admiration. There is a lot of that praise. There's a lot of the admire God for the work that he's done, but there's mm-hmm. not a lot of the adoration or the worship in relationship with him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so it becomes very one-sided. I don't think we can really be well-rounded in our walk without both.
Right.
And we need to have praise and worship.
Mm-hmm.
Scriptures
mm-hmm.
talk a lot about singing praise.
Yeah.
And singing worship.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of that song involved with it. And music. And make music in your own heart. And, you know, to bring praise. And, you know, when you were talking about that, Catherine, it kind of made me think of Psalm 105, which kind of goes into the praising him for what he's created. But then also that mindfulness
mm-hmm.
that we were talking about. So it says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wonderful works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. So now there's a rejoicing too. Seek the Lord in his strength, seek his presence continually.
Yeah.
Remember the wonderful works he has done, his miracles and the judgments he has uttered, O offspring of the servant Abraham. And then if you jump down to 7, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth.
Mm.
He's not just over in one little pocket. He's not just over in my house. Sorry.
Or on the opposite side of that, he's not just in everybody else's houses, but not in mine.
Mine, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But then verse 8, he is mindful of his covenant forever, of the word that he commanded for 1,000 generations.
Wow.
Can you just imagine? I mean, he made a covenant to the people, and it was fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and then it continues to live forth. So we should be singing praise.
Seriously, yeah.
I mean, how often do we just lament? Some people, I think, Lamentations is their favorite book in the Bible. Only they personalize it. You know, when we say personalized scripture,
yeah,
I'm not really thinking Lamentations is the book of choice to do that with. But, or Ecclesiastes, really, sometimes. But, you know,
time for everything.
And everything has a season.
Right.
And right now we're talking about that time and season for praise and worship and Thanksgiving.
Yes, yes. Yeah, you know, we're in October here and starting to look forward towards the holidays and Thanksgiving and Christmas. And, you know, so part of that
right.
Thanksgiving time is to, you know, let's be giving thanks.
I know.
Let's be praising and worshiping. And, you know, you were talking about praising with songs. And I find for myself, when I come into a praise and worship service at church, you know, a lot of times it can start a little rote, you know. I'm just singing because they're playing music and that's what
they do. And that's what you do.
That's what you do. You know, but gradually, you know, usually for the most part, gradually it starts to get into my head and into my heart. And it really becomes a personal praise, a personal thanksgiving of, you know,
right.
An adoring time, you know, towards Jesus and God and Holy Spirit. And, you know, so sometimes people may not feel like singing, but maybe if you start,
right,
it'll penetrate. And sometimes I wonder, why do we sing so long? Or there might be some people that think, oh my gosh, are the songs ever going to be done? You know, but maybe...
Or some people think, can't we just keep singing right. and just not have a word at all? You know, I mean, it goes both ways.
Right, yeah. But I think sometimes, you know, there's a certain amount of time that it can take to penetrate into your heart. And
right.
to really become personal.
And another thing I've noticed is there's a shifting back to hymns, really. I mean, they're modern day songs, but really they're more like hymns. And we went through the whole singing choruses phase for about 20 years, where you sang the same four lines over and over and over for about 20 times.
Yeah.
so that more, you know, people could quote unquote join into worship easily. But I noticed there's a turning back to the more of the verse style of song with, you know, the chorus and then a verse and then a chorus. And I will be honest, it like kind of annoyed me because it was like, I don't know the words to this. How am I supposed to enter into praise? And then I realized one day that we were like, you know, and I'm getting older, so there's that tendency to go, what are these young kids doing and why do they think this is praise and worship? But, you know, I really am also the type that when I notice those things going on internally and I start asking these why questions about why certain things are happening, I realize that underneath that might be a sort of subtle judgment. So I start to really ask the Lord to help me to understand.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, yes, I'm human and there's going to be that element of why are they doing this and, you know, these young whippersnappers, you know, kind of thing. But I also want to say, okay, Lord, help me to have more of an open heart and a better understanding of what this means. And so what the Lord really showed me was that these are just hymns. Like, we used to have our hymn book in the pews. You know, you would open it up to hymn number, you know, 428, and everybody would sing what was there. And they're putting the words up on the screen in front of us is really just a version of open your hymnal.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's
so
true.
Then I get this. But I don't know the words. How am I supposed to enter into praise? So what I'm really trying to do is what you were just talking about, Catherine, just really focusing on, even if I can't sing them and I don't know the tune yet, what are those words up there saying? You know, can I enter into a place of praise and worship, even if I'm not singing it out with the whole congregation, of what is the message of what this is up on the screen? You know, what's in the hymnal, so to speak? What are they trying to say with it, even though it's a more modern tune and it's different language or different format than what I was used to, you know, 50 years ago? But it's been very interesting because now every once in a while somebody will say, how am I supposed to sing these songs if I don't know them? Well, maybe you're not supposed to sing them. Maybe you're supposed to meditate on them.
Right.
You know, and meditate is to take them in and to repeat them and maybe even to mumble them a little bit and to really get them, like if we're going to meditate on the word, which is not a New Age term, it's actually a biblical term, we're going to read a scripture. We're going to repeat it over and over to ourselves. We're going to say it out loud a few times. We're going to sort of mumble through, wow, if I'm really fulfilling that, I do this. Or when I do this, I'm praising the Lord. Or, you know, like, you know, the words up on the screen, I might not really know them.
Mm-hmm.
But am I going to come at them with an attitude of praise and worship?
Right. Right. There's been times, too, yeah, when I don't, if I don't know a song yet, I will... Not always, but I try to just listen to the words and their meaning and, you know, see if my heart can apply those, you know,
right,
as a praise and adoring of God.
Yeah, and it's really important because, you know, like in Leviticus and Nehemiah, they talk about singing praises to God.
Yeah.
And so I may not know the words, but that doesn't mean I can't kind of be singing in my heart, or I can just be like praying or saying something else as long as I'm not completely throwing off the whole church and doing it at the top of my voice so that there's no unity in the worship. But you know, now it's like I have heard people say, how are we supposed to join in if we don't know the words?
Yeah.
And yes, I will be fair and say it's usually the people over 40 that are saying that. But it's like I can just meditate on who God is during that time.
Mm-hmm.
I can let the music enter me into a place of focus and adoration and admiration and thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And if you believe in and do pray in tongues, that's a time that you could even just do some of that, mm-hmm. where you're doing it with that heart for God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and as a sacrifice, that was the thing, Catherine, you know, Hebrews 13:15.
Yes.
It says, through him then let us continually offer, continually, there's a key word, offer, a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that confess his name. Okay, so I'm going to confess his name. I don't know the words up on the screen, you know, in the modern day hymnals.
Right.
But I know the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Could I not just be singing Jesus?
You could.
And do it and enter in as a sacrifice of praise. Like I'm sacrificing my discomfort.
Right. Yeah.
I'm sacrificing my opinions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sacrificing my judgment.
Right.
And in that moment, I just want to praise. And I'm sacrificing my ears sometimes these days. But... but at the same time, I just want to put the name of Jesus on my lips if I don't know anything else.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, I'm reminded of another experience I had in college. There was a particular retreat that we went on as a college youth group. And shortly, it was a day or two before we were leaving, I came down with laryngitis. Mm. And I could not make a sound come out of my mouth. There was just nothing. But, you know, I went on the retreat, and on the retreat, I really felt the Lord teaching me that it's not all about the words that come out of my mouth.
Right.
It's about, you know, the praise that's happening in my heart. And
the attitude coming out of your heart.
Exactly. And so even though, you know, on that particular retreat, I could not sing anything verbally out of my mouth, I was still learning to
right.
praise in my heart.
Right.
And I've carried that forward. You know, there's been other times too when I've, you know, been hit with a sore throat or laryngitis or just, you know, sometimes you get overwhelmed and don't feel like singing or whatever. But, you know, there's still, you know, what can the Lord do in my heart and how can I, you know,
right.
make that praise come from within?
Well, and you were pointing out something that I really have no conclusion on what it means, if anything. But when we were doing our research, we were looking at the concordances and things like that. And
yeah.
how worship was like a short list and praise was this big, long list.
Columns of... references to, within the Bible to praise. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like, I just thought, wow, that is just so powerful. And I think a lot about how people are always like, what's my purpose? I need to know my purpose. I don't know what my purpose is. And for years and years and years and years and years, I have known that we all have two purposes. One is a general purpose, and every single one of us is called to this purpose. And it's to worship and praise the Lord.
Yeah.
And give, you know, to adore Him, to praise Him, and to speak His name. We were all created for that. So even if you don't know what your individual purpose is, which is, you know, what most people are lamenting about, if you fully embrace that, you know, you've got this purpose of praise and worship,
yeah,
you're going to get very clear on what that individual purpose is,
what that looks
what
like.
That call is, what that's going to look like for you. And, you know, so Catherine, I don't have any real conclusions other than I love to praise and worship the Lord and admire and adore Him. But I would like to invite our listeners to join the discussion. And certainly we would love to hear any input or comments that you might have about praise and worship. And so could you go ahead and share with them the information on how to do that?
Yeah, definitely. So on Facebook, you can connect with us by searching Dunamis Center Ministries. On Twitter, go to @YourDunamosLife. But really, we'd love to get an email from you to, you know, how do you praise? What experiences have you had about praising and worship? And
we can share some of that on a future show for sure.
Yeah, yeah. We can. You can remain anonymous if you prefer. But
yeah.
We would love to hear your thoughts and comments. So the email address is dunamoslife@dunamoscenter.com. And there is the phone number. You can always reach us that way.
Mm-hmm.
That is 719-231-7183.
And before we close up, I just want to mention a few things. One is that the new book will be coming out by November. It's in the last kind of formatting process, the one on Won't Somebody Please Hear Me, on healing from birth trauma. And so watch for that on our website. That's Dunamas on all those Dunamases. And, you know, we would love for you to, you know, come in and do a marriage intensive. I mean, Catherine, you don't have to be having a problem.
That's true. That's our story.
Yeah, you just want to go deeper. You just want to have a little better idea of how to really connect at a heart level.
Mm-hmm.
So you can call that phone number.
Mm-hmm.
You can email us and all that and say, hey, I want to learn more about that.
Right. Yeah. So like Jeff and my husband and I didn't really think we were having any problems or anything.
Yes.
But we did set up a time to meet with Dr. Pauline, and the changes that happened were amazing and really have been ongoing for our life and marriage.
And go ahead.
Joining
us for a minute.
Well, I would also like to see the listeners send us some ideas of radio shows.
Yes, yes. We would love to have you send us some ideas. And I was going to say challenges, and then I kind of held back for a second. But go ahead, challenge us. I always love a good challenge. and we can figure out what we will do with it.
Yeah.
And then you can also get other materials, like our birthing stuff is on the website. There's a lot of really cool stuff coming up. So please keep an eye on that, thedunamoscenter.com. Mm-hmm. And listen to our show next week. And I hope you really enjoyed our shows that we did with Elizabeth Petricelli on the still birthday and pregnancy loss, since this is Pregnancy Loss Awareness.
Yes.
So I'm Dr. Pauline Dillard.
And I'm Catherine Pearson.
And we'll talk with you again next week.